Friends, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I invite you to join in our call to worship. O Lord Jesus, grant that the ears which have heard the voice of your songs may be closed to the voice of dispute, that the eyes which have seen your great love may also behold your blessed hope, that the tongues which have sung your praise may speak the truth in love, that the feet which have walked in your sanctuary may walk in the region of light, and that the bodies which have received your living body may be restored to newness of life. Glory to you for your inexpressible gift. Reading today comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verses 20 through 33. But before we read, let us pray. Gracious God, quiet our hearts and our minds. Still in us any anxiety or anything that seeks to distract us, so that we might hear your word, and that hearing it, we might obey. Amen. From Proverbs. Wisdom cries out in the street. In the square, she raises her voice. At the busiest corner, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gate, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing? How long will fools hate knowledge? Give heed to my reproof. I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refused. have stretched out my hand, and no one heeded. And because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when panic strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way and be sated with their own devices. For waywardness kills the simple, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But those who listen to me will be secure and will live at ease without dread of disaster. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson is from James chapter 3, beginning with the 14th verse. Listen for the word of God. If you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading today comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, beginning with verse 27. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist," others, "Elijah," and still others, "one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And Jesus sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, Jesus rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called to the crowd with his disciples, and he said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words? They are a sinful generation. Of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Friends, this too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So you'll have to think back a few minutes to our reading from Proverbs. And I actually am curious if you've ever read the entire book of Proverbs. I'm not sure I had until this past week. Proverbs is a collection of wise sayings that are gathered together with indiscernible pattern. Scholars like to say that this book is the loose canon within the canon. It's the most inexplicable part of the Bible, a bunch of pithy lines that are easy to say and hard to forget. Gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained with a righteous life. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman without good sense. The eye that mocks the father and scorns to obey the mother will be pecked out by the ravens and eaten by the vultures. But Proverbs aren't limited to just the ones we find in the Bible. Every culture, every people, every tradition has their own. Surely you've heard of some of these. The grass is always greener on the other side. A watched pot never boils. The early bird catches the worm. The thing about Proverbs, wherever you find them, is that the wisdom they contain, it isn't concerned with the high, lofty, profound moments of life. The wisdom of the Proverbs is concerned with the ordinary, everyday moments of life. The squeaky wheel gets the grease. People who live in glass houses should not throw stones. And when your head is in the lion's mouth, treat the lion very gently. That last one came from a teacher of mine, the Reverend Dr. Katie Geneva Cannon. Dr. Cannon died just a few weeks ago. Her memorial service was this past Monday. Dr. Cannon was the first black woman ordained in the Presbyterian Church. She was the first woman to earn a PhD from Union Theological Seminary here in this city. She was one of the foundational voices of womanist theology. It is, I believe, actually impossible to overstate the impact she had on the church. She taught ethics at Union Presbyterian Seminary, and her classes were the toughest and most intimidating of them all, though it wasn't until I was writing this sermon that I was finally able to articulate why. Rachel Held Evans, in her book, Inspired, she talks about her journey with the Bible. At an early age, she learned that the Bible was an owner's manual for life.
She was taught to call it her Bible, her basic instructions before leaving Earth. And on one level, I can understand this. All of us want some sort of instruction. Who wouldn't long for a how-to of the questions of this life? How do you care for aging parents? How do you maintain civility in increasingly uncivil times? How do you manage both expenses and generosity in this city? How do you handle marriage or divorce or singleness? How do you approach overworking or unemployment? How do you tend to the endless number of responsibilities that pull and nag at your shirt sleeves? Some instruction would be pretty nice, wouldn't it? But what Rachel Held Evans learned, and what I think we already know, is that life cannot abide with something as simple as an IKEA manual, where everything is spelled out step by step and even has pictures. There is simply no single easy answer for each and every one of life's questions. Proverbs itself contains contradictory pieces of wisdom. One moment, wisdom seems to demean the poor. A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. This one actually turns my stomach a bit, because it pays no heed to systemic poverty, and it looks only at laziness rather than class, race, generational iniquity, education, and, well, I don't know, a whole host of other complex dynamics. But in the very next breath, Proverbs says, defend the rights of the poor. A righteous man knows the needs of the poor and extends generosity. And a few weeks ago, I told you about another odd couple. Do not answer fools according to their folly, or you will be a fool yourself. Answer fools according to their folly, or they will be wise in their own eyes. If we try to reduce the wisdom of Proverbs to simple, direct questions and answers, we end up spinning in circles like dogs chasing our own tails, exerting all sorts of energy and going absolutely nowhere. But if you were to take crayons or highlighters and open your Bible to Proverbs and mark up every time the words way or path show up in that book, your Bible would end up looking like the board of Candyland, where almost every square you can land on is brightly colored. What this means, I think, is that wisdom is a path. It is a way of moving through the world. It's not a static list of shoulds or a ream of rigid rules. It's a journey that we take one step at a time. Bill Brown is one of the leading scholars of this book, and he says, to live in wisdom's world is to experience the delight of discernment and to walk the communal path she forges. A path that is like the light of dawn, shining brighter and brighter until full day arrives. But the full day that ushers in all knowledge and insight never arrives within any given lifetime, he says. In wisdom's eyes, there are no grown-ups. The quest for wisdom is ever ongoing, and progress on the way will always be marked with baby steps. Wisdom itself insists. Not everything is measured and neat, cut and dry. There is always something new for us to learn. My friend Meg parents three young girls, including four-year-old twins who are, she says, the pickiest eaters on the face of the planet. They moan and argue over everything from broccoli to brownie batter, she says, so she has committed this proverb to memory. Better is a dry morsel with quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. She shared it at a recent meeting, convinced that those around her would sympathize, and she was full out daydreaming of eating a dry piece of toast in a silent house when someone interrupted her to say, "Well, I bet a lot of people would choose the strife
when they're sitting lonely at night. Better is a dry morsel with quiet, except when it's not. Or another piece of wisdom, like vinegar on a wound is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. When I am sad, I really don't want someone standing there singing, "The sun'll come out tomorrow." That is the honest truth, except when it's not. Because sometimes when I'm sad, singing is the only thing that can crack my heart wide open and allow healing to sink in. Wisdom's way in the world, it seems, is situational. It depends always on circumstance. Wisdom isn't just about knowing what is true. It's about knowing when it's true. And the good news of this, I think, is that this way of being, this path of righteous living, it's not some secret hidden course you need a PhD or a private investigator to find. The wisdom of Proverbs dwells within the ordinary moments of everyday life. In our particular text this morning, we encounter wisdom itself personified. She's called Lady Wisdom. She is the one who watches over us and issues these proverbs to us. She is named for the wisdom she dispenses so that we might be better today than we were yesterday. And did you catch how she does it? Hear it again. Wisdom cries out in the street, we read. At the square, she raises her voice. At the busiest corner, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gate, she speaks. Wisdom is right in the mix of it all. At the train station, on the morning express bus, waiting for an elevator during day school drop-off, fighting through the crowds at the 72nd Street entrance to Central Park, right there in the busyness of our daily routines, wisdom cries out to everyone. No matter their age or class or education, race or gender, wisdom is not particular in the slightest about who hears her. Because she says that anyone who listens can learn. It gets a bit rough right after that. Lady Wisdom then goes on to say, "How long will you simple ones love being simple? How long will you scoffers delight in scoffing? How long will fools hate knowledge?" Lady Wisdom seems to have some hard words for us to hear. But I've become convinced that these harsh words come not from a place of indifferent anger, but from a place of deeply concerned, irreversibly invested love. My teacher, Dr. Cannon, was not known for her easy classes. She was not known for giving high grades, and yet students flocked to her. Every semester, whatever she taught, students lined up to sign up because of what she taught and because of how she taught it. She was among the most sought-after instructors in theological education anywhere in the world, precisely because her students knew they would not be coddled. They knew they would be challenged. Not long before she died, she was asked, "Why do you nurture students the way you do?" And she said, "Before I began to mentor and nurture students myself, there were others who mentored me. There were teachers, and especially my grandma Rosie. She taught me to love reading. I was then, and I am now, always reading and creating, because what I want to do is take the very best from the Black teachers that formed me and bring that to my teaching. Every Black teacher I ever had told me, I'm going to give you the very best I have, and I want you to make it better." So that is how I approach nurturing and mentoring my students, she said. That is my ministry. I think that is Lady Wisdom's ministry too, not to coddle, but to challenge. to give us the very best that she has so that we can make it better. Lady Wisdom's deep desire that human life flourish is why she occasionally speaks with such an edge. Follow me, she says, with almost a frightening degree of intensity. Follow me and you will find life. She doesn't say, follow me and it will be easy. She says, follow me because the struggle is worth it. I mentioned earlier that it wasn't until I was working on this sermon that I realized why Dr. Cannon's classes were so hard. It's because she walked in the path of wisdom. Her classes never once allowed me to simply read material and regurgitate it to her. I could not study and just spout off facts. I couldn't soak up knowledge and call it a day. I had to journey through it because in Dr. Cannon's classes, it wasn't what you believed that you were evaluated on, it was how you came to believe it. For her, it was all about the process, the wrestling. There was no roadmap provided. She always used to say, this is not a paint-by-numbers class. Well, no. And neither is Lady Wisdom's. And thanks be to God for that, because neither is life. In these recent days, Dr. Cannon's students, we've discovered that we all have different memories, different lessons that we have internalized from our teacher. But every single one of us remembers this. Near the end of every semester, she would say, we're coming in for a smooth landing, a nice, smooth landing. She would push us throughout the entire semester, unrelenting in her desire that we learn as much as possible, but toward the end, as every other class was gearing up for a final exam, her classes were intentionally gearing down. You've endured the struggle, she would say. You've done the work. You have found out something more of who you are and why. You've discovered something more of how to move through this world in faithful measure. Class isn't over, she would say. Class is never over. But you can take a breath now, because we're coming in for a smooth landing. That's what we want, isn't it? It's certainly what Proverbs and Lady Wisdom herself want desperately for us. For ours to be a life so well lived, so thoughtfully considered, so intentionally faithful, that no matter what the circumstances around us, we can hold tight to God's ultimate promise, God's ultimate claim on our lives, that absolutely, yes, we are coming in for a smooth landing. Pray with me. Gracious God, we believe. Help our unbelief. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
The friends remember this. It was the love of God that brought you into this place this morning, and it is that same love of God which now sends you out into a world that is staggeringly beautiful, and yet still broken, which means it still needs you and everything you have to offer. But before you go out into it to do your very best, may joy and nothing less follow you all the days of your life. May you be blessed and may you be a blessing. And may you rest well today, secure in the knowledge that the Lord of Light, who has brought you this far already, will lead you and countless others all the way home. Amen.